Check out 4thandflex.com, where you can find our YouTube channel, become a subscriber, and you could win free prizes such as signed jerseys and anything in between. That's 4thandflex.com. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to your boys. Enjoy the show. With the next selection in the movie review podcast, 4thandflex choose Draft Day. Lights, camera, action. We are back. Welcome back to 4thandflex, your sports movie review podcast. I'm Bandy. That's Trey. This is 4thandflex, buddy. What's up?
What's going on, man? What a great movie we decided. You know, it's draft day. Draft day coming up. You know, we had to throw that out there and get involved.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. We had to do it. We had this plan for a while. Draft day's coming up. So draft day is the movie that we are going to do today. Draft Day, directed by Ivan Reitman, a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, $29.8 million at the box office. This movie came out 2014, Trey, which, just going to start right here, 2014, I didn't realize how old this movie was, first of all. Second of all, when they were talking about great players, I'm like, oh, they got to talk about Tom, you know? And then I was like, wait a minute, he wasn't the GOAT yet, so.
You know who won the Super Bowl in 2014? Seattle Seahawks.
Well, that's convenient. That's convenient. Anyway, starring Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, Chadwick Boseman, Tom Welling, Terry Crews, Dennis Leary, and a whole list of other people, guys. Is it based on a true story? Kinda, not really. I mean, it's based on the draft, you know.
The idea of it.
The idea, which I love that. I actually really love kind of seeing the behind the scenes. You could tell sometimes they were saying things that, like, they were helping explain it as they were saying it, just to kind of, you know, work that out. But I loved it, man. I loved seeing the behind the scenes sort of thing there, you know?
Definitely, definitely.
But let's go to a plot overview. Sonny Weaver Jr. is the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. One of pro football's most important days, NFL draft day, is drawing near. But Sonny has much more on his mind than just which players to recruit. His lover is pregnant. The team's owner wants to fire him after Sonny accepts a deal with Seattle that nets him that team's first-round pick. He immediately wonders if he has made the right choice for himself and the Browns, Trey.
Woo! Yeah, man, it's good. You know, and like you were saying, you know, the way they had to kind of explain some things without making it look like, you know, obviously some of the things they said they wouldn't have to say in real-life situations.
Right.
But yeah, man, it's a really good movie and really helps you understand the NFL draft.
Yeah, it did. I like I said already, I loved seeing it from that perspective, seeing all the kind of ins and outs and the way things actually work. It felt very realistic to me, like just, you know, people, old football dudes, just like making deals, wheeling and dealing. I liked it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's get right into it though, buddy. An ode to remember the first time you watched Draft Day. Now, this is a man that tries to watch Draft Day every year when the draft comes along, so we had to fit it in here and give him an excuse to watch it again.
Yeah, so the first time I watched this movie was right after it came out in 2014, and to preface this, I'd never watched the NFL draft before 2014. I didn't care about it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I'm like, you know, I'm ready to see some football. After I watched this show, this movie, ever since then, I've watched every NFL draft since.
Yeah, boy.
Because I always watch this movie right before it to kind of get me back in the zone, get my head in the game. Because I honestly didn't watch it because I didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
And then once I watched this movie, I realized, like, there's a lot that happens, a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of crazy things that could go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just sitting out around waiting on a phone call their whole life depending on it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, buddy. No doubt. Yeah, man. It's wild. I was watching with my fiance. She said the same thing. I didn't realize how much went into that stuff, you know, and I think that was good to open people's eyes to that kind of stuff, at least for the draft. And you know what? It does seem, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it does seem like since around that time, the draft has gotten more and more popular, don't you think?
Definitely, definitely. I think that movie did a lot for the draft. And on top of that, you know, it kind of gives you some insight, you know, on how much they really look into these guys. I mean, all the way down to how many teammates they had at their birthday party.
Yeah, no kidding, bro. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they really check you out.
Yeah. We're going to get to that guy probably a little bit later. But there's a lot of questions around Mr. Callahan. That's for sure.
Yeah.
An ode to remember for me, believe it or not, a lover of NFL football and fantasy football, such as myself, had never seen the movie Draft Day. So this on a first watch, I loved it. I mean, I'm sitting in on the couch taking notes, watching the movie, man. That's I remember it like it was yesterday, even though it was today. Great stuff, buddy. Great stuff. Let's keep it moving, though, man. Let's get to your personal favorite scene of the movie, Trey.
Yeah, so my personal favorite scene has to be the $100 bill story. When the dude tells him that, you know, the Commanders had sent out a playbook of their plays, and they had a $100 bill taped to the latch page. And then when they called him in for an interview, they wanted to see if they'd actually read it or not. And they said about 50% of them returned the, or, you know, talked about the $100 bill. The other 50% obviously didn't read it. Once they called him out on their lie, they were like, oh yeah, my bad, you know, whatever. But only one player, you know, took the $100 bill and then continued the lie. He was the only one to have the balls to stick to it. And they said that was their second weirdest response they had received. You want to know the first? Some kid mailed back the $100 and said, save this for when I win the Super Bowl. You want to know who that kid was? It was Brian Drew, baby. Brian Drew.
Yeah, dude looked like Derek Carr, didn't he?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, I got to give a shout out to old Tom Welling from Smallville, man.
Yeah, I already knew you were going to be all over that. And is it Kevin Costner in Smallville too?
No, he was in
he was in a Superman movie.
He was
movie.
In a newer Superman
movie. He was like
movie.
A stepdad or something.
He played Kent. He played the dad. What's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't. I don't know. He played Clark Kent's dad.
Yeah.
Mr. Kent.
Yeah, just kind of weird how they
Jonathan
had that.
Kent, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. Had that Superman kind of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't in it long, but he was in it. Yeah. But yeah, I liked it. I liked that whole story, that whole way they did it. That guy, though, telling the stories, man, that guy. That's another thing that we're going to get to later. But that guy, I understand Kevin Costner's aggravation to listen to this guy. He's like, do you want to know who that guy was? He's like, no, I don't. All right, who was it?
It was Brian Drew.
Yes, sir. My personal favorite scene is when they're like, they're in the war room and they're breaking down the footage of Callahan and Mac. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, he's like, watch. He's like, no, go back. He's like, watch him getting sacked. Watching to see how calm he was in the present, seeing if he was starting to panic. And he was seeing it. He was seeing it, man. He had a gut feeling about that kid, man. And from what I've seen, his gut feeling was right.
Yeah. And then, you know, he was like, now watch the next play. Like all these people that they had hired to do this job, to recruit and scout, weren't smart enough to check the next play after he got sacked, you know?
Yeah, just to see his calm.
You know, yeah, exactly. That's the whole part of being a quarterback. Can he handle pressure? Can he survive? You know, is he going to be scared the rest of the game after taking a big hit?
Yeah, exactly. And I just love that the whole interaction in the war room, like everybody coming with their thing, even the coach who was getting mad at him hopped down and he's like, all right, let's break down some game footage, you know? And I just loved it. I love watching it. I love how Mac, dude, just kept popping off the screen. Mac kept just popping off the screen, you know? He couldn't even help it, dude. It was just on him.
And then, like, the one point where he's like, everybody shut up and let me do my job.
Yeah.
You know, because you got 100 people in the war room talking. You know, they're like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about the salary cap? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. And he did a hell of a job, man.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I'm maybe jumping a little bit ahead of myself, man. The ending, bro. I love how he had that little piece of paper in his pocket.
Yeah.
He wrote it. You watched him write it down.
That was like halfway through. That wasn't really the ending, but. You know, but yeah.
We'll get there. I can't help it. It got me. All right. We've heard your favorite scene. Let's get to the most iconic scene of the movie Draft Day, Trey. What do you got?
So in my opinion, the most iconic scene has to be the scene where he's talking to Tom in Seattle when they just traded Jacksonville for the sixth pick. And, you know, he's calling him back and he's like, hey, you know, he's like, oh, I hope this guy in Jacksonville doesn't screw this up so I can get Bo Callahan at seventh. And he's like, I'm on the clock. It's me. Yeah. I've got the sixth pick. And then, you know, they have that whole back and forth mm-hmm. and where he's like, you know, we're in a different world than we were 30 seconds ago, yeah. Tom. You yeah. know, like kind of making him eat in his own words, oh, you know,
yeah. oh, and then yeah. kind I like of he, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kind of put him in a weird spot. You know, he's like, you know, I've read all the Seattle blogs and everything. They're coming for your head. Yeah. He's like, no, everything's cool over here. He's like, I've read the blogs. I've read the Twitter. I know, you know, what I mean? I've done the research.
Mm-hmm. He puts him on hold. He's like, what else we need? Yeah.
Huh? David Putney.
yeah. Yeah. With special teams. Special. All right. Throw that in there, buddy. Throw it in there. Yeah. It was just, you know, he started with, you know, nothing and ended with just a whole bunch, dude. Like, everybody was like, what are you doing? You're crazy. This is ridiculous. You're trading all the firsts, all the seconds. We got no draft picks, no first, second draft picks for the next 3 years. And at the end, bro, they get everything they want and their draft picks back. And it's a guy on special teams.
And here's my thing is it only works if people second guess themselves, right? Yep. Because they didn't take Bo Callahan, everyone else second guessed their pick. Yep. If everyone would have just been like, oh, well, they're crazy and went on with their day, yep. it would have went a completely different way. But because everyone was so worried that he didn't take Bo Callahan, because how absurd is that? Everybody's freaking out. The rookie down in Jacksonville is panicking. You know what I mean?
yeah, dude, it was great. It was great. My most iconic scene is the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. Just the whole start of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, here we go. Here we go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it builds up through the whole movie. You know, he's like, you know, they're like hour 45, you yep. know, and like, and to me, like, I felt the pressure of being the first one on the clock. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to, it's same as like in fantasy when you're 101 at the 101, like, you don't get to think when it starts, you're there. It's you.
It's time to roll. You know, when every time they would say on the clock, I would think like I would be in my head like the way when we're drafting, you know, for fantasy, just thinking like you're on the clock, Trey.
Definitely. It's pressure, man. It's pressure.
You know, I was searching for as many Buccaneer references as I could find. I found two. They weren't that great, but we were in there.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice.
No. OK, well, I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there. So it was like a Buccaneers logo behind them in one scene, right? Yeah. Of course, my mind catches that immediately, right? Yeah. And then at the end credits, when they're showing all the different players, we got a Buccaneer in there. That's it. That's all we got. But in 2014, we weren't doing much, so that makes sense, you know? Yeah,
definitely.
all right, let's go ahead and move it on to what has aged the best. This was actually very hard for me to try to figure out what aged the best, right? What did you end up coming up with?
Yeah. So first thing I got is going with your gut. You know, everybody said, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is the way the numbers say, this is what you're supposed to do. And Kevin Costner, Sonny Weaver, he said, I'm going with my gut.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the other thing I got is running the team that you want.
Yeah.
And you know, this kind of brought me back to fantasy a little bit. You know, it's like, you know, you got all these people, all these, you know, statisticians and all these guys saying, this is the perfect lineup. This is the guy you need in round one. This is the guy you need in round two. But at the end of the day, run the team you want, and I think you'll enjoy the season better and probably do better. You know what I mean? Because the more people that talk about some guy, a lot of times that's the guy that ruins your team. You know, that nobody can guess these things perfect. Mm-hmm. And running with the team that you want is going to get 10 times more enjoyment out of the year regardless.
Absolutely, absolutely. The intangibles, honestly, are one of the most important parts in the end. Intangibles were what Mr. Bo Callahan did not seem to have.
Exactly.
What's age the best for me? Being a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just being a good person. always the right call, man. And then I got to go leadership. You know?
Definitely.
Good leadership has definitely aged well.
For sure.
We now know what has aged the best. Let's go to what has aged the worst, Trey.
Well, starting off at the top of my list, real big letters, I've got P. Diddy. didn't age very well since he starred in this movie. Ooh. I mean, a lot going on over there with P. Diddy.
Yeah, hot topic. Yeah.
So that wasn't good. How about the Dallas Cowboys being good? That didn't age very well. I mean, you know, the coach came from the winning Super Bowl Dallas Cowboys. He's got the ring. You know, I've been there. And it's like,
You think, like, he – was it the year before that they won?
I think it was the year before the day – or the other year before. Yeah, a year or two. But either way, he was like, you know, you just got handed a good team. That's the only reason you did that, you know.
You're right. What has aged the worst for me? Bad storytelling, okay?
Yeah.
that guy, he got me. He really got me. Throwing things when you're mad has seemed to age the worst. Violent outbreaks, if you will. Making decisions without the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know what I mean? Like, it worked out. Don't get me wrong. He knew what he was doing. But how many times did he come in there and they're like, oh, we're on the clock, man. We need to get our slip in. And you're like, all right, put it in.
You know, yeah, man? Exactly. I like that you said throwing things, though, because I love that scene where he comes out of his office and the intern's sitting there and he's like, somebody destroyed my laptop.
Yeah,
and he's like, he had all of my personal belongings. He's like, I did that. And he like gives him this look like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then he like steps, you see, like he kind of shudders a little bit. He's like, oh, that's my boss. Like, I can't get too crazy, but I'm pissed right now.
Uh-huh.
He's I'm sorry. We'll get you a brand new one with all the bells and whistles. You know,
I like that because he was like, you don't deserve this. You've been a trooper all day.
Right.
You know?
And I literally am sitting over there and my wife looks over at me. And she's like, are you tearing up right now? I'm like, he has been a trooper all day. He's worked his butt off and no one's even recognized it.
Oh, God. I feel you. Beautiful stuff. Well, how about let's go to another one that wasn't super hard for me, but an interesting one, if you could say. A scene that you could live without, Trey.
Yeah, man, this was a hard one for me because everything kind of flowed well. But in my opinion, something that I could have lived without was his mom with the urn and the ashes on the 50-yard line. They could have done it a different way to, like, say that he's neglecting his dad on draft day kind of situation. Other than like her bringing the urn in with his ex-wife and like going to the 50-yard line, and then she walks and everybody's following her but him.
I couldn't believe he didn't go. I'm like waiting for him to be like, all right,
and some Gaelic prayer. I don't know. It just felt like a little too much. They could have dialed that part back.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I feel you on that because I feel like the relationship with the dad, they didn't do. It felt like there was a buildup with that, and it really never got to where it was going in my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
I mean, at the end, I mean, it's like, Dad would have been proud.
Right.
You know, we could have done without that stuff. You're 100% right. But so scene I can live without, the baby thing, Sonny and Allie, you know, we're having a baby, yada, yada. I mean, I'm watching a sports movie, you know what I mean? I just feel like I could have lived without all that stuff, even if it was just a relationship they had that they were trying to like keep on the down low.
Yeah, like a work affair.
Right. You don't need to throw the baby stuff in there. Man, right. Kevin Costner's old, bro. He's old, man. Getting some Jennifer Garner.
Mom, we're having a baby.
I know. I'm surprised mom wasn't like, are you out of your mind? But I just feel like we could have done without it. Let's get to the next one, buddy. We've got The Replacement. Which actor could have done better, or as we like to do on this show, which actor would we have liked to have seen try out the role, Trey?
Yeah, man. So I definitely had a couple different ideas here. Nothing that I would think could replace Kevin Costner. I think he did a great job. But these are just a couple ideas that I found that I thought would be very interesting.
Sure.
Starting off with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Okay,
coming in there and you know, kind of, you'd be a little bit of a different character, but I can just see him being like, you pancake eating motherfucker, you know?
that does it for you right there.
Now
right?
Give me my picks.
No, I like that. I like that a lot, man. I feel like he would have just kind of got right in there and done well with that, man. I feel like Kevin Costner helped sell this movie, though, and that's kind of why that wouldn't happen, but I'm with you. I like that idea.
And then also Jeff Bridges,
okay,
the guy from The Big Lebowski, plays in True Grit. I think he kind of has that kind of older, you know, little humor, but a little sternness, kind of sarcasmness in him that I think he could have made this a funny role.
Come on, man. You pancake-eating motherfucker, man.
You got to give me the picks.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it. All right. Let me get to mine, buddy. Let's see. I want you to picture it. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Give me my picks, all right.
Let's give it, like, as soon as you said that, I flew back to We Are Marshall, where he plays the coach in that, you know, and I could definitely see him in that kind of a role, a GM role.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I feel like he, you know, I like the way he does characters. I like his little accent he'll usually bring to the role. I like Matthew McConaughey as an actor, and I can't really say too many bad movies that he's been in. So I feel like that would have worked out well, Trey.
Just hang in there with me, all right? Yeah. I got a plan.
Damn it, Mom. Not today. I'm busy today.
It's draft day. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
All right.
I can see him throwing the laptop and rubbing his face.
Right. It's a woozy. You know, it doesn't exist.
That's a good one.
Yes, sir. All right, now let's get to your favorite actor, Trey. Favorite actor in this film.
Yeah, man. You know, ever since we've been doing these sports movie reviews, I tend to pick someone outside of the main actor. But sure. I had to go with Kevin Costner this week as Sonny. I just think he did the best job and did a great job in the position.
Absolutely, man. Kevin Costner, man, he's great for a reason, man. Great for a reason. I'm actually went a different route here. I went Dennis Leary. Okay, coach of the Browns. I mean, I just feel like he did a great job just being that cocky guy like he always does. And you know what? I was looking at some of the quotes. I was reading some quotes, and Dennis Leary said a long list of things. Like, one of his quotes was so long. I'm like, how did he memorize all these words and do it so elegantly?
Yeah.
He's good at what he does, man. He's a stand-up comedian also, but he just really portrayed that guy. I really liked it a lot.
No, definitely. And he kind of gives you that insight on, you know, that I guarantee you that not all coaches agree with their general manager and the decisions they make, but they're their boss, so they have to deal with it. But they're going to do their best to put their two cents in to get the team that they want.
Right. Exactly. I loved it. Now let's get to one of my favorite parts of our show, and that is the quote that lives on. Trey, some quotes from draft day. I'm going to let you start us off here, buddy.
All right, so the first one I got is from Kevin Costner. It's definitely, absolutely, most GD importantly, don't bother me with your shit right now.
I like that. How about, I think this was Jennifer Garner that said this one, but sometimes the best path is the tortured one.
Yeah, I like that. I got one from the intern.
Okay,
because I really rolled with this dude.
Apparently.
And when Kevin Costner walks out and starts talking about women, and the intern's like, yeah, women, they're like, ah.
Yeah, he just turns around and looks at him like, all right, I thought you were going to be cool.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to be a part of the group, you know?
Yeah. All right, I got one. There's me doing my job, you doing yours. Your job is to coach the team I give you. They do it different in Dallas. Yeah, they do. They win. And he holds up the ring.
Yeah, I didn't like that quote. I hated that part.
Because Dallas, Dallas winning just to give you the heebie-jeebies, huh?
All right, I got another one going back to the coach here. All right, and it's when he's sitting at the table with Jennifer Garner, and he's like, I got to teach a rookie everything. I'm talking shift, plays, protection, snap counts, alerts, check with me's, double X jet ice cream 36 counter naked waggle at 16-9 Tennessee free. You know what I'm saying? And Jennifer comes back with the, don't patronize me. You know I know what you're saying.
I've dedicated my life to this sport just like you. I had that quote exactly, yeah. Too, because I wanted to say all that on the show, you bastard.
Give me one. Go for it.
All right. No one can stop a ticking clock but the great ones. The great ones always find a way to slow it down.
Oh, no, I'm saying hit the double X jet ice cream. Let's see if we can do it.
Give him another quote.
No, hit it.
That's all right. I'm going to give it to you, buddy. I'm going to give it to you. That's all right. You got any more?
Let's see. I've got the one you just said. No one can stop a ticking clock, but the great ones find a way to slow it down. That was a good one, man. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. Yeah, I dug that.
That is a good one. Let's see. Double X jet ice cream 36 counter naked waggle at 16-9 Tennessee free. You know what I'm saying?
Don't patronize.
I hit it anyways.
And then the last one I got is, you get Bo. Say it with me, you pancake-eating motherfucker. That's my favorite line probably from the whole movie.
Come on, Tom. Say it with me. I like that, too. I have it on my list as well. I didn't say it because I felt like we had already said it, but I'm glad you said it anyway, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. Let's move it on, man. No songs from this movie, so we're going to skip that one. Does it deserve a sequel, Trey? Does it deserve a sequel? I feel like we're going to be on the same page here. Maybe not. I'm going to let you go and do your thing.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, it was to give people insight on draft day and everything like that. So it doesn't necessarily deserve a sequel. But if I were to come up with a sequel for this movie, the sequel that I come up with is that the 2014 draft class Cleveland Browns, they go on to the Super Bowl, right? To play the Seattle Seahawks against Bo Callahan, okay? They're battling out, and it's like Bo Callahan, you know, he actually was something, and he made it all the way to the Super Bowl. And it's almost kind of a villain story to where Bo Callahan ends up proving that just because no one came to his birthday, just because he lied about $100 bill, doesn't mean he wasn't the greatest prospect on draft day.
And to become the first rookie quarterback in the National Football League to lead his team to a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I like it. I mean, like I said, I felt like we were going to be on the same page there, and we are. I actually even named the sequel Draft Day this season. Draft Day 2 this season. Yeah, and basically it was the same thing, actually watching all the players play and see how the Cleveland Browns actually ended up doing that season with all those characters, you know, get to see some more of them, get to see these draft picks that Kevin Costner put in and get to see more of Dennis Leary being the coach and stuff like that.
Right, seeing everybody work together.
But I like putting ours together. Yeah. Okay, they go to the season, they make it to the Super Bowl, Bo Callahan's there. I love it. I love it.
And there's, you know, there's cuts to Vontae Mack's life outside of football and how it's affecting him. Ray Jennings, how it's affecting him. Yeah. Bo Callahan, how it's affecting him and how everybody's dogging him for not being first pick. And what did he do? And, you know, and he's just in the locker room and he's just looking down, his eyes closed, and he's ready. He's sick of it. He's fed up. Just because no one came to my birthday, I'm the best.
I was going to go there. If I win the Super Bowl, they'll definitely come to my birthday. Yeah.
That's so Bo Callahan wins the Super Bowl, right? But it goes back to the Cleveland Browns the next day, and there's fucking invitations on everyone's locker, and it's to Bo Callahan's birthday.
They open it up, it's just a middle finger.
I love it.
I like it. All right, buddy. Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. Let's compare the movie or a player to a team this past season, Trey.
Yeah, so I actually kind of went a different route here, and I compared it to a team this season and a player this season, Caleb Williams, the number one quarterback pick. You know, he's for the last 2 years, what they've been talking about him going first overall.
Yep.
And it would be amazing if the Bears went with somebody else. Now, obviously, they already sent off Justin Fields, a.k.a. Brian Drew. So it seems like they are just going to go with Caleb Williams, but it would be awesome if they skipped out on Caleb Williams and then the 2, 3, 4, 5 all skip out on Caleb. Because what is going on? Why didn't they take him?
You know who that wouldn't be awesome for?
Caleb Williams.
but I could see that. I mean, that would easily happen. That could easily happen. Because it doesn't seem very often that the number one pick actually is worth that number one pick spot. It just doesn't happen a lot.
Exactly.
Baker Mayfield is finally starting to find his groove a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He did well his rookie season. He did a bunch of crap. I mean, there was injuries, whatever. But now he's kind of hopefully starting to do better. They're just Trevor Lawrence, you know, he has a lot of great moments, but he throws a lot of interceptions. You know, I just feels like, can you remember the last number one pick that did really well?
No.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah, but even he had his, you know, downfalls.
I mean, I guess they can't be perfect all the time. I mean, I'm not expecting that. Yeah. I feel like when you draft a guy number one, they should just be amazing. And that seems to be the issue a lot of times, too. Like, you're expected to be amazing, and it may be.
And what Bryce Young just, you know, not that long ago was like.
I had a feeling about him anyways, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, we'll see this year. I think he's going to step it up a little bit. But that's what you expect. You know, all of these guys, you know, you got a fourth rounder. He's the best he's ever been in his third year. Well, so is most everybody after they've had a couple years under their belt.
Right. You're right. No, you're 100% right, buddy. All right. Now, comparing the movie to a team, I got to go with the Houston Texans in the draft last year. Think about it. They did some crazy stuff, wowed people. They had the number one pick. What they do, they traded back to get the number two pick. I just feel like all that can go together. They made a ballsy move at the first and second pick. I feel like in draft rooms and stuff like that, it probably was a lot of craziness like that going on.
Oh, it was definitely some, what are you doing? What are we doing? What's the move here? We're on the clock. Who's on the clock?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we trading for this?
Yeah, precisely, my friend, precisely. So that's a good one, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, buddy. I really felt like that was almost too easy and you were going to grab that one too. So I was kind of worried, but
no, I like that.
I liked yours too, buddy. I liked yours too. Now let's move on to the Johnny Lawrence Award. Is the villain actually the villain or being gaslit? This was another one that was pretty difficult for me, Trey. I can't lie.
Yeah, man, because it's more of a teach you kind of movie and not really, there's not really a set villain. When I was trying to identify the villain, to me, it was either Anthony, the owner, or Bo Callahan. That was kind of how I was looking at it. And I've already advocated for Bo Callahan. You know, he comes back and is a good player. And actually no one, you know, just because no one came to his birthday and he lied about a $100 bill doesn't mean he's just the worst pick ever. And they shouldn't have took him first overall. But then Anthony, the owner, you know, he's like the guy that, you know, I don't know why all these like rich, mean old men give me Jerry Jones vibes, but that's exactly what I got from that. And it's like, do you even really know what you're doing, Anthony, or you just want this to work out for the betterment of you, or you care about the team?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I really thought if he didn't take Callahan, he was going to get fired. I really thought
immediately before it even the clock ran out.
Right, exactly. It's a good thing he didn't. It's a good thing he held on that.
And then even when Anthony goes to the draft and he like walks, he's like, I'm not sitting here in these cheap seats. He's like, oh no, we got your spot in the booth with Roger. And he goes up there and he's like, what are you doing in my lounge?
He interrupts him, dude. Yeah. Like Goodell's talking to somebody. He's like, hey Roger, what are you doing in my booth?
Yeah.
Thanks for making this interesting.
Yeah, and like all he's doing is like been trying to benefit himself, basically. So it's a little villainous in my opinion.
I agree. I had Bo Callahan. I feel like and it's hard to say he's the villain because we really don't know. It's just kind of like he's made some bad decisions. Like maybe it's just the young person and him making all these bad decisions. I mean, that's no excuse, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
Right, but like Ray Jennings, I mean, he popped in with a brawl just a couple weeks before, you know, and a lot of coaches and teams would steer away from him because of that, you know what I mean?
You're right. So what do we think, man? Who gets it? Bo Callahan gets the Johnny Lawrence Award?
Yeah, I think Bo Callahan gets the Johnny Lawrence Award.
Congratulations, Bo Callahan, man. Nobody came to your birthday party, but at least you got the Johnny Lawrence Award. All right, buddy, let's move on to a souvenir from the movie, Trey. This was a really hard one because there really wasn't many things that you could take with you. What'd you come up with?
I mean, just off the top, I got any NFL memorabilia would be cool. Yeah. But specifically, and I don't even know if you caught this because it was a very split scene, but I seen it and I was like, I want that. And it's in Sonny's office. It's a black and white photo of a Browns player standing on the sideline in the snow. And he's wearing one of those big jackets. And it says Browns. And it's just the backside of him. And it's got snow coming down on the field. It's a sick picture. And I'm like, I would love to have that hanging up in the studio.
Yeah, that's a good one, buddy. I honestly didn't even catch that. I missed it. But it feels like I want to go back and find it now just to see what you're talking about. I got one that you're probably not going to like, but it was just so hard to find one. And it's Dennis Leary's Super Bowl ring.
Okay.
Even though it says Dallas. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Let's move on, buddy. Let's move on to Where Are They Now? Where are they now, man? This movie's from 2014. Where are some of these actors at now, Trey?
Yeah, well, if you don't know where Kevin Costner is at now, then you need to go out and watch Yellowstone because it is amazing. He does an amazing job. I mean, this dude is killing it season after season. I can't wait for the next season to drop. You're watching it right now, right?
I just started it for the first time. I'm like 7 episodes in, and it's pretty great.
Kevin Costner in Yellowstone.
I'm always just a little bit behind on those things. Like, I didn't watch Game of Thrones till way later. Breaking Bad is another one I didn't watch till way later. But I started it. Isn't there a bunch of spinoffs for Yellowstone too?
That it's not really spinoffs, more as backstories. So I think it's like 1849, and there's one in like, it's basically his generational family previous. So it's like his great 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 grandfather, and then there's one like this great 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 grandfather.
But there's one that's like, it's like literally one with him in it. I just can't remember what it was called, but it's like all about him, Kevin Costner's character.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into it a little more. But it's going to be good, I'm sure, man. I'm not super far, so I don't know what's going on, but definitely. Hey, guys, says Heather Torres over on Facebook. What's up, mama?
What up?
Shout out to my mom. She loves Tom Welling, okay? Tom Welling was in this movie Draft Day. Shout out. All right, buddy. All right. Let's see. So who else you got?
I've got Jennifer Gardner. She's a child activist and a board member on for Save Our Children, doing big things with Save Our Children, which is a big charity thing right now. Mm-hmm. Most recently, she starred in a movie in 2023 called Family Switch on Netflix, which I haven't seen, but when I looked at it, it looked like it would be a pretty funny one.
I haven't seen that one either, actually. What else you got?
Chad Bozeman, obviously, RIP. And that kind of brought me, I wanted to talk about this here. There's a lot of superhero actors, like actors that have played in superhero movies in this movie. And I thought that was kind of interesting how they had a lot of different actors like that.
Who else? Oh, okay. Well,
Kevin Costner and then, Smallville.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of, and there's a couple other that I couldn't name off the top of my head, but it was just interesting how they had.
I'll tell you this. It seemed like every time the new character pop up, I'm like, oh, that's that one dude. Oh, that's that one dude. And you know what I just thought of? There was a guy in the war room. He was actually, he was on Arrow on the CW too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's another one for you right there.
There was one guy, I don't know if you might know who he is, but so whenever the GM is or the owner is getting out at draft day, at the place where they're drafting, the guy that opens the car door and gets him out is he's the dad from Small Soldiers, but I can't think of any. But it's just like he's a quick cameo, and I'm like, that dude is a big actor, and he just played this little role.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I knew as soon as you said there's a guy, and I knew that's the guy you were talking about. I don't know why, but I just did.
And then lastly, I just have Frank Langella, who is the owner in the movie. Right now, he's actually a voice actor for the video game Destiny 2. So that's interesting. I've never played Destiny 2 to that point to know which voice he's acting. But it's very interesting for him, that kind of a person, to be voice acting in a video game.
What was the name of the guy?
Frank Langella. That's the owner.
That's what I thought. That's the owner. He's got a voice like that that would be good for doing voice acting and stuff like that. So that makes perfect sense to me, man. Perfect sense to me. A lot of actors doing a lot of voice acting and voice work and stuff like that. I really enjoy that. I like to watch a lot of those like superhero cartoons and a lot of anime stuff like that. Not like crazy anime, but I love being like, oh dude, that's that one dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just love hearing that. I love it.
Definitely.
Beautiful. What about Diddy? Where's Diddy now?
Oh, yeah. I got on here. Diddy going to jail.
That's all we got to say about that. We're not going to get into the hot button topic right now. All right, buddy. Is this the main actor's best movie? Talking about Kevin Costner. That's a tough one.
Look, Kevin Costner's peak performance is definitely not Draft Day, in my opinion. It is a great movie, and he does a great job in it. But I think that more of an older generation would probably lean Field of Dreams. In my opinion, his peak performance is Yellowstone, by far. So that's where I'm at.
The good thing about Yellowstone and Kevin Costner is that he's got a big, long opportunity to display his acting and how great he really is as an actor in multiple episodes and seasons. So you get to see more of his acting performances in Yellowstone because there's more of him to see. Normally this guy does, a 2-hour movie. So you get to see a lot of great stuff. But I feel like here he's going through all kinds of different problems and emotions and his kids and blah, blah, blah. So peak performance, I got to go The Untouchables. But I like where you said with Yellowstone, and I like it a lot. Hey, Heather Torres says Dances with Wolves.
Yeah,
that's a good one too. That's a good one.
Great actor, Kevin Costner.
He is, dude. He is. He is. You know, and he's American, you know, and I like that. You know, those British guys are awesome actors. They take their craft very seriously. So when I see an American actor actually, you know, do great, like Joaquin Phoenix, you know what I mean? I just give it to us. You know what I mean? Take one for the team, boys. I like it. All right, buddy. Now here's a fun part here. We got movie secrets you didn't know, Trey. Give me some movie secrets you didn't know.
Yeah, so starting off the top here, the team Sonny trades for the top pick was originally supposed to be the New York Jets, but they dropped out of the movie at last minute.
Oh, really?
Which would have made more sense because my next fact is Tom, the Seahawks general manager in the movie, has a picture of Legion of Boom, the name of the Seahawks secondary in real life, in his office. In the movie, the Seahawks trade away the number one pick, which would mean they had the worst record in the NFL. In real life, the Seahawks never had the losing record with Legion of Boom.
Yeah, buddy, yeah. I knew as soon as the Seahawks popped in there, buddy, I was like, oh, no wonder he loves this movie.
And you know they were trying to make that dude look like Pete Carroll a little bit, right? Even though he's the GM and not the coach and he was doing it. But that was a Pete Carroll move, right?
I was so thinking that. As soon as I seen that dude, man, I'm like, yeah, exactly what I was thinking, buddy. I love it. I love it.
Also, the film was initially rated R by the MPAA, but Lionsgate appealed the rating and got PG-13 rating without cuts. As a result, it's a very rare PG-13 film to use the term motherfucker.
Well, I think they can use the word fuck one time in a PG-13 movie.
Right, but with mother in front of it, it actually pushes it to rated R. I don't know why that's a thing, but it is.
Just that is what pushed it?
Yeah, that's what they were trying to push it on.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, buddy. All right, buddy. Any more movie secrets?
I got a couple more, yeah.
Let's go.
So the movie originally was centered around the Buffalo Bills instead of the Cleveland Browns, but the studio changed it to the Browns because the production costs in Ohio were much cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But honestly, I feel like if it was the Buffalo Bills, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much just because to me, the Browns was a good pick because the Browns are always struggling with teams and coaches and players and moves and what to do, you know, and they do care so much about football and it's really all they have in Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, they state that in the beginning of the movie, you know?
Yeah, no, that's right, man. Browns fans are very, very loyal, man. That's for sure.
So. It really made me become almost like care more about Browns fans after watching this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they needed it. They need a little TLC. The Bills will be okay.
All right, I got ESPN commentators correctly note that Kevin Costner says that you can only get drafted once.
Yeah.
Okay, but 2003 and 2011, the Vikings and Ravens, or I'm sorry, this is the something different, but the Vikings and Ravens failed to make their first round selection. You have to both call in the trade. Okay, for it to go through, right? So if one person calls in the trade and the other person doesn't, you lose your pick.
Ooh.
And so they kind of the commentators kind of explained that, but I didn't really know that was a thing. But the Vikings and Ravens failed to make their first round selections in time and lost their picks because one person didn't call in the trade.
That's crazy, bro. Honestly, when he said that, I was like, I didn't know that had ever happened, you know. But it makes sense. It's just I never knew that somebody didn't get their pick in on time. I never seen that happen, I guess.
Right. And the next one I got my mind was mixed in with it, but it's when Sonny Weaver initially calls Bo Callahan and he tells him you only get drafted once.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Jackson was drafted number one in 1986, but didn't sign due to some circumstances involving Tampa Bay. Jackson was then drafted in 1987 in the seventh round by the LA Raiders.
So he was the only man to be drafted twice. Is that
That's right. So not everybody only gets drafted once.
Yeah. I know. I love how Kevin Costner kept saying that, like making sure that these are, he knows it's business and all that, but at the very beginning, he's just like, you know, just remember to enjoy this, you know, and you only get drafted once. I like that he did that. Although it did sound very robotic, almost as if he was just saying what he thought they wanted to hear. But at least he did tell them that, you know.
Right. And the last thing I have is the photo of Sonny Weaver Jr. and Sr. The actor who plays Sonny Weaver Sr. in that photo at the end was David Gregg, who is 4 years older than Kevin Costner.
Oh, my God. That's insane. That's insane. Kevin Costner looked good, though. I mean, he is old, but he looked pretty good. What do you think? About 60, 62 in that movie?
I would say around that time.
Gosh, how old is he now? I feel like he still looks the same on Yellowstone, and that was 2018.
He's killing it.
Take care of your body, I guess. I want to know how old Kevin Costner is, too. I need to Google that. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Great stuff. Love to hear the nuggets of secretness you got for these movies, my friend. But what keeps you coming back? You come back every year. What keeps you coming back, Trey, to watch in this movie?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've got. You know, this movie gets me in the right mind for draft day. It reminds me of how it works and the intensity behind it, and really gets me in the mood to see these teams, you know, make their picks and really, you know, give the validation to the idea of draft day and how intense it is and how much they go through. You know, you only get to see a couple minutes in a player's name. But there's so much going on behind the scenes. And this kind of like while I'm watching the draft after this, I think about like, you know, oh, they're taking a long time. I wonder what's going on. Like who's screaming at who? You know, what's going on in the back room? You know, how many names did they have on their board? You know, what changed their mind last second? You know?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You're right, man. And that's kind of what I've got too, the behind the scenes, the process. I mean, I've never came back because it's my first time watching it, but I feel like I would like to go back and watch it again just to kind of, you know, just to kind of feel like, see the things that I feel like I might have missed in a first watch and stuff like that. And it, again, it really pumps you up for the process of draft day.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right, buddy. It is that time. It's time for your final prediction here. Rate this movie. Give me your flex score for draft day, Trey.
Yeah, so I have got this movie a 7.4 out of 10 is what I went with.
This isn't one of those movies where you need two ratings like we have been doing lately, but I went 7.5 on it, dude, just because I thought that it's just a really good movie, and it keeps you engaged, it keeps you watching, it keeps you guessing.
It's hard not to give it a better rating, but with so many sports movies out there, you know, you got to think about the really, really great ones. But this one was super solid and a different sports movie than you've ever watched. You know what I mean? It's not the underdog gets the victor and, you know, all these things. It's a totally different world.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the first episode we haven't even said the word underdog.
Exactly.
Not something that aged the best in this movie, right? Good stuff, buddy. That was a fun one, man. Guys, draft day, the real draft day is coming up. So don't forget to watch that, man. And watch draft day too, man, just to kind of get you pumped up like your boys did over here, man. Thank you guys so much for watching. Shall see thee on the next one.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Let's go. I wake up to a little bit of drool on my pillow, feel like it's gonna be a bad day. Yeah, I'm tired of shit, and the coffee ain't hit yet. Damn, ain't that great. I don't wanna go to work, cause my boss is a jerk, and I'm not even that paid. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Hold my beer for a minute, I'm about to quit my job, cash in for a ticket. I'm going on a trip and I don't plan to visit. I'm gonna stay there till I feel like I'm winning all. And this is just the beginning. I need a big change, help me feel like living. I need a big swing, home runs I'm hitting. And I'll never look back, moving on till I get it all.
Cut, print, that's a wrap.